Happy Easter from St. Paul's Terry Hills. Today's Bible passage is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. This passage is a continuation of our sermon series in Mark's Gospel, and it fits perfectly with Easter Sunday. In it, we see two miracles of Jesus. First, the healing of a woman, and secondly, the raising of a young girl. Let me begin with the healing of the woman from verse 24. So that's Mark chapter 5, verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." It's hard to imagine what this woman must have been through. She'd been suffering for 12 years, we're told, and it had cost her everything, including her dignity. We're told that she heard about Jesus, and she obviously believed in Jesus. That is, she knew that he had the ability to heal. That's why she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And indeed, that's exactly what happened. In verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. What happens next is interesting. Mark tells us that at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He then turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" I don't think it's that Jesus didn't know. He knows the woman. He knows her suffering. In fact, he knows us. He knows our struggles and he knows our suffering. He wants to flush her out, so to speak, to bring her out of hiding. No doubt she had been in hiding for some time with the shame of her medical issue. Especially in a Jewish culture, she would have been ceremonially unclean and therefore excluded from society and excluded from worship at the temple. Jesus wants to lay his eyes on her. Verse 32, Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, and she comes out of hiding. Verse 33, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Need she fear Jesus? What do you think? Need she fear him? Need we fear him? Should we fear Jesus? Well, not if we stop hiding. Not if we tell him the whole truth, the truth that he already knows about us. Not if we come to him in faith, trusting not only in his power, but also in his kindness and grace to work that power in our broken lives. Verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Daughter tells us that Jesus loves to welcome the broken into his family, into God's family. Your faith has healed you tells us that when our faith is placed in the right person, that is Jesus, it can have a powerful effect on our life. Life-changing, life-transforming, spiritual healing first and foremost. Go in peace, Jesus says. Peace with God, and therefore peace within ourselves, and therefore an opportunity for peace in our relationship with others. Sadly, our world continues to tell us, especially the younger generation of us, that to be successful, we must have faith in ourselves. We must be the object of our faith. But I have no power to end my suffering, if and when I experience it. I have no ability to find peace within myself, certainly not peace with God, and therefore no peace in my spirit. This miracle reminds us that Jesus alone has the power to free us from suffering and give us peace. Peace with God. Good Friday is all about that. Jesus frees us from our suffering by suffering himself on the cross, winning us forgiveness, giving us peace with God, and the promise of a future free from suffering and free from death. And so we come to the second miracle in Mark 5. I'm reading from verse 21. Mark 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. So Jesus went with him. As we've just seen, on the way, Jesus heals the woman. And it is while Jesus was still speaking to her that, verse 35, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, "Get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. There's a lot of bad news at the moment. I'm having to limit the amount of news that I tune into. I'm trying to limit myself to one nightly news report. There's just too much bad news, and I don't think dwelling on it is particularly helpful. Anyway, thankfully, the really bad news is kind of still out there. It's at arm's length for me personally. If it were to get closer to home, God forbid, then that would be something else. Then it becomes personal bad news and painful bad news. Anyway, without dwelling on it too much, the news that Jairus received could not be any more personal and could not be any more painful. "Your daughter is dead," was the news he received. "Your daughter is dead." Truly tragic news. Before Jairus breaks down in grief, Jesus speaks. "Don't be afraid, just believe." Believe what? Believe in yourself, Jairus? Believe in the angels? Believe in karma? Believe in science? Cryogenics, perhaps? No. Believe in me, Jesus says. Now, obviously, Jairus had heard of Jesus. He had heard of his miracles, his healings. That's why he had come to Jesus. And verse 23 pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. He knew Jesus could heal. But this is next level. His daughter is now dead. That's much harder to believe, that Jesus can give life to the dead. He hadn't seen or heard any evidence of that. And certainly Jairus's relatives and friends did not believe. Verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly, and understandably so. Jesus went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Verse 40, but they laughed at him. They laughed in Jesus' face. Sometimes all you can do is laugh. In the current climate, with so much bad news, there's also a fair amount of escapism going on. Netflix, I understand, is going pretty well at the moment. I also see on Facebook and Twitter, etc., that some people are having a laugh at the expense of the coronavirus. So there's a whole bunch of COVID-19 memes and all the rest. Now, Jairus's relatives, they laugh at Jesus because he says, "The child is not dead but asleep." I'm actually surprised that they laughed. I would have thought that they would have got angry. I guess they laugh, scoffing at his idiocy. What a stupid thing to say in such a devastating situation. They do not believe. But amazingly, Jairus does. And exponentially more amazing, we read, after Jesus put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Understandably so. This is a game changer, truly a game changer. Jesus has power over death. He can bring the dead back to life. And so we celebrate this Easter Sunday. For this miracle is just a taste of the greater miracle of Jesus' own resurrection that gives each one of us hope of life beyond the grave, the hope of life over death. We don't need to make light of death, to joke about it like it doesn't matter, to uncomfortably joke about death or laugh about it because we don't know what else to do with it. Jesus himself laughs in the face of death because he has power over it. We certainly don't. Only he does. He is the risen Lord. Death could not hold him down. He has defeated death on our behalf so that we might live even though we die. And that life he gives, resurrection life, is free from suffering. Our pain and our shame will be no longer, and our peace will be perfect. A friend of mine has written a poem for this Easter 2020. He's named the poem, This Easter is Different, and I just want to share a part of that poem with you today. He writes, see, this Easter is different. Our nation has changed. Our beaches are closed. They're not heaven, just sand. Our nation is anxious. Many jobs have been lost. We ask for our leaders to chart us a course. Maybe our people are ready to listen, to hear of a true leader who rescues in power. He's bigger than the virus and longer than the present. He promises a future in which there's no tears. And so I pray that this Easter will be different for my friends in this country, that the truth of the gospel will be heard and received, that the death of Christ on that cross long ago would be seen not as weakness, but as strong by the one who created the earth, the skies, and the seas, who came to save people and died for their sins. When he rose from the dead on that first Easter morning, he proved he is bigger than anything we see. This Easter is different, and yet it's no different, as we celebrate the Messiah who conquered the grave. Trust in the Lord Jesus, please, fellow Australians, for all will be saved if they only believe. For us who believe, there is hope. Like Jairus' daughter, we who sleep in Christ shall be woken in resurrection. And that power of resurrection is already at work in us. As the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." We who believe, he says, have been raised with Christ. Spiritually, we have been made alive in him. For that reason, our focus is on the things above. And that's really hard to do when earthly things are so unsettled as they are at the moment, so unsure, so difficult for some of us. Our present troubles can consume us. Easter lifts our eyes. The risen Jesus encourages our hearts. He reminds us of the eternal things, the things that truly matter. And we are reminded that though our circumstances are challenging, he is transforming us in the here and now, even through our suffering. Colossians 3 verse 5 continues, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." As we lift our eyes to Christ and are reminded of the resurrection power at work in us who believe, even now we are being renewed. Death is being replaced by life. The child is not dead. Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Child of God, live the resurrection life. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Daughter of God, Son of God, in these troubled times, know the peace of God in Christ. Live in the comfort of that peace. And know the hope of a suffering-free future in the resurrection. May it be a truly happy Easter for you this Easter, despite the current circumstances we find ourselves in. Amen.